I want to read a passage this morning from the third chapter of Hebrews. I'll begin reading with verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's reading from the 7th verse, continuing through the 19th verse of the 3rd chapter of Hebrews. And you'll find my text in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, verses 6 and 7. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The emphasis all the way through here is on today. It mentions today several times in this passage. We want to talk about today. We have a song in our book, the title of it is Someday. And there are a lot of people thinking about someday. But the text says today. Thinking of someday reminds me of my grandson when he was a little fella. He's 26 years old now today, I think. It's his birthday. When he was a little fella, he was at our place, and we took care of he and his sister while their mother worked. His other grandmother's name was Murphy. He called her Grandma Murr. And he was at different times wanting to go see Grandma Murr. And his mother says, all right, Ricky, someday I'll take you up there to see Grandma Murr. Well, he'd come up again with the idea, I want to go see Grandma Murr. All right, someday we'll go up there. It's quite a little distance up there. Says, we'll go someday. Well, that went on till it kind of made a believer out of him and kind of soaked in on him. And so the day come, she was going to take Ricky up there to see his Grandma Murr. So I was kind of teasing him that morning, and I said, you going on a trip today, Ricky? No. Oh, I thought you was going on a trip today. Going to see Grandma Murr. He said, no, Grandpa, no, someday. He's going someday. Well, that was the day, but what had soaked in on him was someday. Well, God's talking about today, and he doesn't want you thinking about someday. But we do get those kind of ideas. Someday I'll do this, someday I'll do that. But God's concerned about you and me living today. We need to learn to live today. And today is our important time. Very important time. Now he said, today, after so long a time. And I note that God deals with people over long periods of time sometimes. But however long he may deal with people, there comes a decision point somewhere along the line. And that's today. It comes down to a present decision point. He may deal with us a long time. You've heard me often say that the devil would work a lifetime to get a soul. Now, I believe that. And if he can't just make a frontal attack on us and knock us out, he'll just maneuver and counter-maneuver and all around for a whole lifetime and maybe get a soul in the last hours of its life. Well, I believe God wants our souls as much as the devil does, so I believe he'll work a lifetime too to get a soul. And he'll maneuver and work by every means available to him to attract a soul. But there must come a point of decision sometimes. No matter how long that he deals with a soul, there must come a point of decision. He says, today, after so long a time. Now, this has been going on for so long a time. But today, this is the day. This is the time. And he said, today, if ye will hear his voice. How many in here this morning would sign a contract that they were never going to be saved? They just sell out to the devil right now and just let the devil have their life. How many in here would sign a contract like that? No hands are up. I don't believe anybody would. But he said, if ye will, if you ever expect to hear God's voice, if you ever expect to be saved, don't harden your heart. When God speaks to you, don't harden your heart. When he deals with your soul, don't harden your heart. Hardening your heart will bring you to a point eventually to where you don't hear his voice anymore. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 15, We are told that this people's heart is wax gross and their ears are dull of hearing. Now, when people can't hear what God says to them, the trouble's in the heart. It's heart trouble that affects their hearing. This people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Goes on to speak about their eyes being closed, different things, but it's all heart trouble. And it teaches us that hardening our hearts when God visits us and deals with us will only bring us to a point where we can't hear Him speak after a while. If ye will hear His voice, if you wouldn't sign a contract that you never would hear His voice, that you're selling out to the devil and just going right on His way, if you wouldn't sign a contract like that, then my admonition to you is don't harden your heart. If you will hear His voice. If you're not ready today, you have hopes that you'll hear Him someday. And if you have any hope like that, don't harden your heart when He speaks to you. He says in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 2nd verse, "Behold, I have heard thee in a time acceptable, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." My text says today. Now is the day of salvation. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 6, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." When is that? That's today. You can find Him today. Call upon Him when He is near. When is that? That's now. Right now. The Lord is near now. He's near to everyone. There isn't any such thing as God being way off. People may get way off course in their way of life, but when Paul said, "If happily ye may feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of you," he was talking to heathen people that didn't know a thing about God, and He wasn't far from them either. God's not a long way off. James called Him a God at hand. And He is at hand to bless you. He's at hand to save you. He's at hand to deliver you, to solve your problems and bear your burdens and heal your sicknesses and lead you in the way everlasting. He's a God at hand, not a God afar off. Call upon Him while He's near. He be not far from every one of you. A God at hand to bless and to help. Jesus taught us to pray, Matthew 6:11, in what is known as the Lord's Prayer. He taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Today. Folks, let me tell you something. When you learn to live today, you've learned a great big secret in successful living. Live today. Give us this day our daily bread. Many times that's a part of my prayer of a morning. Give me faith for today to trust You for everything that I have need of today. Give me courage for today to meet today's problems. Give me the supply of my needs for today. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me victory for today in today's trials and tests and problems. Give me victory today. Help me to walk softly before You and to please You today in what I do and say. Tomorrow's out there an uncertain something. Today is a certainty. This is our time. This is what we have. Yesterday is past. Tomorrow is eternity just hidden from our view. Today is our time. It's the only time we have. If we can learn to live today and not worry about tomorrow, commit that into the hands of Him who holds tomorrow in His hands. Face the future in that confidence that when we get there, God will be there and have everything under control. Just live today. That's a great thing. Jesus told us in the 21st chapter of Matthew, verse 28, a certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, "Son, go work in my vineyard today." God's calling for people today. He's calling for His own people to work for Him, and He's calling for those who are not His people that they would give their hearts and lives to Him that He could make some use out of them today. God wants to save people that He might use them. You have no way of knowing to what extent God would use you or how great your service might be for Him if you'd just give your heart and life to Him. He wants to save people to work for Him, serve Him. Go work in my vineyard today. God's calling for workers today. It said in Ecclesiastes, the ninth chapter and verse 10, He says, "Whatever your hands find to do, that do with your might." God wants you and me being energetic for Him, ambitious, seeking out ways and means whereby we can be of some use to our Master. He says, "There is no device whereby you can do anything in the grave whithersoever you go." Jesus said in the 9th chapter of John in verse 4, He said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day." Today, now, for the night cometh when no man can work. Over there in the grave, there's no device, there's no way, no means that you and I can serve then or do anything. Today is our time. Go work in my vineyard today. It says in the 11th verse of the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes that time and chance happeneth to them all. Every one of us has time. Every one of us have our chances, our opportunities to serve God and to bless souls. And how many times I pray for you and me, myself and my brethren, God make us a blessing to the work of God, to the church, and to the souls around us. What your hands find to do, do with your might. God's calling on you and me today to serve Him. Jesus told His apostles in the 4th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 35 says, "Say not yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. But I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're already white to harvest." They're ready now. Souls all around us perishing, dying, without God, without hope, going into eternity that way. That's the harvest. That's where our opportunities lie. Song we used to sing good many years back says, everywhere that man is found, tell of Jesus the renown. Where it is night, carry light. This is God's command. Today's my time, and this is all of my time. The only time I have is today. If tomorrow comes, it'll be today when it gets here. And God help us to live today. My father used to say, son, live every day just like it was the last day you had to live. Today. Live today like this was your last one. How many of us in here, if we knew this was our last day, would be thinking, planning, doing just like we are right now? What kind of attitudes would we be holding? What kind of feelings would we be having toward our fellow men? What kind of a stir would we feel in our soul? How would we be spending our time if we knew this was our last day? I saw a book. The title of it was, If I Had Only One Sermon to Preach. What do you think a sincere, earnest preacher would preach if he knew he just had one sermon to preach? He wouldn't cut any corners, would he? Wouldn't beat around any bushes. He'd drive right straight to the point and the main point. Well, it comes down if I have just one day to live. Maybe that's all I have. I don't know. I have today. Lord, help me to follow my Father's instructions and live today, every today, just like it is the last day that I had to live. The night's going to come when none of us can work. When death overtakes us, which it will, how many regrets are we going to look back on? Well, I wish I'd have done this. I intended to do that. I wish I would have. Regrets. My father also used to tell me, son, live just like you wish you had when you come to die. That you can come to it with no regrets. Everything up to date. The only way we can do it is just live today like it's the last day we had to live. Keep right up to date with God. In 2 Kings, the 7th chapter and verse 9, in this case, the city of Jerusalem, or Samaria, I believe this was besieged, the land of Samaria. And the people in the walls were starving. And conditions were very straitened. Outside the camp, the walls were four beggar men. The Assyrian army was camped over here in their tents. Destruction was weighing down heavy on those people. And these four beggar men, lepers, They were starving. They sat down and reasoned this thing out, and they said, if we go into the city, we'll die. And if we go to the camp of the Assyrians, we can no more than die. So let us go to the Assyrians and see if we might obtain some mercy. Well, they got over there, and you remember how God had caused a commotion and excited those Syrian people, and they all fled and left their provisions and everything right in their tents. And these leprous men came over there. They found the camp deserted, went in the tent and found abundant store and supply, and they sat down and ate to their heart's content. Oh, they were blessed. They were happy, but finally one of them kind of come to himself. He said, say, this is a day of joyful tidings, and us staying here and enjoying this isn't good. Let us go to the city and tell them that there's abundant store out here. There's plenty here. Folks, the good news I bring you today is that today is a day of joyful tidings. This gospel day, this salvation day, this time in which we're living, it's a day of joyful tidings. The tidings of salvation, the tidings of victory over sin, deliverance from the power of sin, and from the bondage of Satan, victory for men and women in this life, it's a day of joyful tidings. The angel that announced the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ to the shepherds on the Judean hills at night, they said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, folks, this is a day of good tidings. Waiting here we do not well. Those leprous people decided we're not doing the right thing to just wait here. We've got joyful tidings. Let us go and tell it. Let us announce it to the souls around us, to everybody that we can. We have the joyful tidings of salvation. The 118th Psalm, verse 24, he said, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord made this day, this gospel day, this salvation time, this Holy Ghost dispensation. It was all in the plan of God. The Lord made this day. Let us get a hold of something that will help us to be glad and rejoice in it. He made a day of salvation. Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This was in God's mind from the very institution of anything and everything that God made. This was in God's mind, and He made this day for us. This day of salvation. This is a day the Lord's made. Proverbs 7:14 says, this day have I paid my vows unto the Lord. Today, it may be payday today. You made any vows to the Lord? When you were in any trouble? When you had any strong desires and burdens that you were praying to God about and you promised God certain things? Reminds me of one young fella, and I was there when this happened. There was a bad flood, and this Young fella, he was my own brother. And he and I were in this house, and our mother was there, and there's about 15 other folks in there, and the flood waters got about waist deep, almost waist deep in there, and it wrecked that house and moved it off its foundation, and we thought it was going to go on down the stream, and it would have, only it hung up in some trees there and didn't go. My brother was just praying, and he was repenting, and he was seeking forgiveness for his sins, and so on. And, oh, God, he said, just try me, Lord. Well, the flood passed over. A day or two later, my brother was in some kind of mischief, and somebody that had been there, they said, don't you remember how you prayed the other night? He said, well, there's not any flood today. That's my brother. Shame on him. But that expresses the attitude of a lot of people. We make our vows to God. Perhaps many a boy on a battlefield made a vow to God. If God had spared him and let him get back home, he'd live different. But he forgot it when he got back. Maybe we promise God, I'll do this, I'll do that. If you'll just bless me now and help me out of this trouble I'm in, or relieve me of this burden, or help me out in whatever need I have, I'll do this, I'll do that. Folks, payday will come. God's Word said it's better to not vow than to vow and not pay. But this man said, today have I paid my vows unto the Lord. Today, it may be payday for you today. In Lamentations, the second chapter in verse 16, he said, this is the day we looked for. We have found it. We have seen it. We looked for it. Jesus said the prophets desired to see into it. Angels searched after it. Many men of God desired to see the things that they prophesied of to us. Peter said they didn't understand or know whether the things they said were to themselves or to us, but Peter said it was to us. Jesus said many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear these things that you hear and have not heard them. But the prophet here said, this is the day we looked for. The day of salvation, the day of grace, the Holy Ghost dispensation, the gospel age of time, this is the day we looked for. All down through the Old Testament times, they were looking for this day that you and I now enjoy. And the apostle tells us in the Hebrew epistle, the closing of the 11th chapter, that faith chapter in the Hebrew epistle, he said, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having embraced them and saw them afar off and confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers in the earth, but they died not having received them, God having prepared some better thing for us. That without us, they should not be made perfect. And of Abraham it was said that he sojourned in a strange land, not knowing whither he went, but he sought a building or a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. And Jesus said to the people of his time, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Do we see it? Do we know the day we're living in? Are we taking advantage of the day we're living in? This is the day we look for. The prophets look for this day. Men of God all down through the Old Testament dispensation look for this day. The prophets prophesied of it and the angels searched into it. They desired to, but we've found it. And we have seen it. I say we're living in the best age of the world. This gospel age. This Holy Ghost dispensation. People say, if I could have just lived back there in Daniel's day or in Elijah's day or some other day. I say we're living in the best age of the world right now. Today, you'll hear his voice. Then there's a note. It's a melancholy note. Very solemn note. It struck in the 13th chapter of John, verse 30. Said after the sop, Satan entered into Judas, and he went out. And it was night. I'm talking about today. But when the end of the day comes, night comes. And when people turn from the light, they go into darkness. We have a song to be lost in the night. In eternity's night. To sink in despair and in woe. But such is thy doom if thou turn from the light, refusing his mercy to know. Judas went out, and it was night. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the only light the world has. When people turn their back on him, when people go away from him, when they walk out from the presence of the Lord, it's night. It's dark. And how great is that darkness? Oh, that's such a sad note. Judas went immediately out, and it was night. Let us think about it, folks. Night's out there. And people that turn their back on the Lord, that's night out there. All around out there. Everywhere outside of Jesus, it's night. He's the light of the world. He's the only light. Everything else is blackness or darkness. It's night. Think about what happened to Judas. A man told me about working in a veterans hospital down in the Los Angeles area. Said he was distributing tracts and religious literature and talking to the patients in there as he could. He came to one young woman in there. She was an atheist. She didn't want anything to do with any religion. And he approached her, and she just stoutly rebuffed him. And he offered her a tract, and she says, "I don't want any of that stuff." Said he stood there a little bit, and he said, "Well, before I go," she told him, "just go on his way." "All right," but he said, "before I go, I'd like to ask you one question." She said, "All right." He said, "Now, since you've kicked God out of your life, what do you have left?" That young woman got a little bit serious, and she pretty soon said, "Not much." She didn't have much. She wasn't getting much out of life. She'd turned her back on the source of life. The day was over for Judas. He went out, and it was night. Many souls doing that same thing today. Today, now, and today is over for them, and they're going out. And it's night. Bear in mind, when the day ends, night comes. And it may be eternity's night. Let's stand and sing that song. To be lost in the night, in eternity's night.